Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Monday to you. It is the first day of April 2024, and this is the Andy Griffin Show. I am not an April Fool's prankster type guy. I never have been. I don't know. Never really been into that. Jack Lancaster is here.
Yeah,
are you a
good morning.
Prankster Jack? Are you into?
I always forget.
Yeah.
But you should talk to Dave over at Star.
Dave Hyatt?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a prankster.
They always do something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So I should be aware today that something might go off here in the studio?
Usually he pranks the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he'll do something, but yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know. I've always been in the news business, and I always felt like that there's a certain amount of trust that people put in me, and if I start putting out false information, I'll lose that trust.
Ah.
So I always felt like, I think Stockton's the same way with news. I think you just feel like, you know what, if I were to do a story that was completely false, in fun,
yeah,
then maybe next time I do a serious story that's not in fun, but it's a real story, people are going to be, oh, this is another one of his jokes, or...
Yeah.
Years ago, the Salt Lake Tribune ran a story about a hole in the Great Salt Lake that was sucking in people and cars and things like that.
Oh my gosh.
And that led to an underground river that was eventually going to drain the Great Salt Lake.
Wow.
Well, it was on April Fool's Day. It wasn't real.
But
AP picked it up. Several different local papers picked it up. They figured it was a real story. And
yeah.
It turned into kind of a nightmare for the Tribune.
So years ago, Dave and I, mm-hmm. I helped, we found an interview that Adam Sandler had done about something.
Yeah,
and we turned it into, it made it sound like Dave Hyatt was interviewing Adam Sandler about his new bakery restaurant that was opening in Bloomington Courtyard. And so we edited it so that it made it sound like that, and the owner of the station believed it and was calling in saying, hey, we need to get a news crew out there.
Yeah. Did you have to explain to him that it was a joke?
He thought it was funny. He had a good sense of humor on that.
Well, we got lots to talk about today. By the way, later on in the show, we're going to be giving away books. Clay Travis sent us a box of books.
Yeah.
It's called American Playbook. Those that remember a few months ago, I had Clay on the show talking about this book. And, we're going to give away probably two books a day for the next couple of weeks.
All right. That's awesome.
So American Playbook. I've read it. It's a good book. It delves into Clay's opinion on what can fix some of the problems we have in America. And also touches on the fact that if Joe Biden gets elected again, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's called American Playbook. In about 20 minutes, we're going to give one away. And in about 40 minutes, we're going to give, or 35 minutes, we're going to give another one away. So, that'll be fun.
Okay.
Lots to talk about today. What was that name of that article I sent you? Is it Nuttery? Is that what they called it?
Yeah.
Have we reached?
Peak Nuttery?
Have we reached peak climate nuttery? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Also, the dignity of work. Yes,
okay.
Work. Four-letter word for some people, but not for others. We're also going to... I thought this was kind of fun to play. You put me onto this, but I want to play it and just kind of get... First of all, okay, in Canada, Canada's pretty jacked up, and you mentioned that, Jack.
Yeah, they're messed up.
Their inflation is out of control.
Yeah.
Their prime minister is laughable.
Yeah.
Is that a nice way
say
to
that,
put it?
Well, that's very, very kind of you to say that. Yeah.
They don't like him very much. And so this other guy, his name is Pierre...
Poilievre.
Is that how you say it?
Poilievre.
Poilievre. If it was French, it would be Poilievre.
Poilievre. Okay.
Something like that. But it's probably Poilievre. Anyway, he is running to replace... Mr. Trudeau. Anyway, a reporter tried to get him, right?
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well. I'm just going to play. This is a very short, it's like 30 seconds or something, maybe a minute. But this is a reporter asking this Pierre guy some questions, trying to catch him. Check this out.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
well,
he's eating an apple.
Appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing, you know, I mean, it's that type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways, a lot
I don't really believe in that.
Okay. A lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like, which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but...
Like who?
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so you must know somebody.
Yeah, he pretty much took it to this guy. And as so I've been on the reporter end of interviews like that many, many times. I can tell you right now, this reporter used rhetoric and hearsay to try to get this Pierre guy.
Uh-huh.
And Pierre was having none of it.
Right.
He's like, look, if you don't have real information, real quotes, real whatever to back up what you're saying,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to answer your question. And I love it, man. That was awesome.
I think the these guys, it's a really good school from Poilievre's point of view is to question the assumptions of the question.
Yeah.
You know, and
as a reporter,
he does a good job with that.
I think Stockman is a young reporter. I think you know, you got to learn that you can't go in with preconceived notions and without actual facts to back it up when you go ask a question. You know, you need mm-hmm. to go in and say, look, people say you can't go. People say this about you.
Mm-hmm.
Which people? Well, you know, people do. Okay, can you give me an example? Well, no, I've just heard
what
from
have you
who,
heard?
Where,
from
what,
who?
Yeah.
State your source and time.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's irresponsible journalism. Yeah. So that interview could have been very interesting from, you know, maybe a national standpoint if he had been prepared, the reporter, and asked questions the right way. But clearly he was making assumptions. And, you know, he was comparing him to Trump. He's like, well, who compared me to Trump? Well, people have.
what people
would those be? And what I think what Pierre Poilievre was basically saying was, so you're saying this. And that's really what it's all about.
Right. But I'm not going to concede to your presumptions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to concede that. You're going to have to prove it. And that's the best part.
Now, tell me about this carbon tax, what you know about this carbon tax. Because Canada today uh-huh. is enacting it was actually enacted, but they've upped the ante by quite a bit financially on this carbon tax. And basically, this Pierre guy, by the way, is saying we need to get rid of this thing. It's ridiculous.
Sure.
But, basically, you can get, as a homeowner, if you buy an electric car, if you turn in your gas stove and get an electric stove and things like that, you could actually save money on this carbon tax. But do you know any more details on that?
Just that it's going into effect. It's going to raise prices on everything up there mm-hmm. even more so. Obviously, the electric vehicle technology is not near what it needs to be, especially for those batteries to operate in cold Canadian environments.
Oh, yeah.
It's just another example of the left wing going crazy and buying in hook, line, and sinker into this climate change hoax. Because the left in Canada, as well as the left in the U.S. and the left in Europe, are all bought into this whole idea that mankind is causing climate change because we're releasing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and have been for the last 70 or 80 years from the Industrial Revolution. And then that's causing the and you would think a country like Canada wouldn't mind a little bit of warming. I mean, you just kind of think that'd probably be okay.
If you live in Calgary where the average mean temperature is 30-something degrees,
you'd think it might be okay. You know, maybe you have a little bit longer growing season, maybe. But, you know, there's nothing that's good is going to come from, you know, a little bit of global warming, according to the lefties. Nothing. And the problem is Canada contributes probably less than 1% of the total carbon dioxide output for the entire planet. And they think that they're going to solve the problem. You know, Jordan Peterson, one of my favorite people,
mm-hmm.
Did an interview with a guy last week, and he says, you know, what you're trying to do now is you're trying to ameliorate the suffering of generations 100 years from now because you cannot quantify how much your cuts today and the suffering you're going to cause today from the increased taxes, the increased prices on everything across the board, and you're going to save people 100 years from now suffering. So you're going to sacrifice today for 100 years from now, and you have no idea what you're doing today is even going to work.
Yeah.
He says, we've tried that in the past, and it's cost millions and millions of lives for people trying to create a utopia based on the deaths of, you know, think about communism,
well,
for example.
Or Adolf Hitler. He was convinced
exactly.
There was a master race, and he needed to eliminate
same,
everybody that wasn't part of that master
same,
race.
It's the same yeah. mindset yeah. that's doing that. And I highly recommend this interview Jordan Peterson did. With some guy, and he did a master class on how you cannot quantify because there's too many variables. You could 100 years ago, you couldn't predict what the economy would be like today. Not even no. Nobody could.
No, no idea.
So how can we think? It's the height of hubris to think that we can somehow project 100 years from now what economies are going to be like, what temperatures are going to be like, and. Every single prediction that they've made about temperature increase
has been wrong.
And ocean level increases and ice cap contractions and polar bear declines and crazy weather has all been false.
Wrong.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
Everyone. Not one has even been close.
There was a new report out last week. Apparently, global warming is driving up prices. That's what I said. We've been assured that it's a serious paper. Global warming and heat extremes to enhance inflationary pressures, even though it has been proven over and over again that crops actually grow better when it's slightly warmer.
The greenhouse operators put CO2 into their greenhouses to increase crop yields. Carbon dioxide is the food of life. Plants eat carbon dioxide. It makes them more drought tolerant because they absorb carbon dioxide. They use sunlight to create photosynthesis, and they release oxygen. And that's how you make oxygen in the atmosphere is from plant life because it absorbs CO2. And the more CO2 that is abundant, the less the plant, the spores on the leaves or the little pores on the leaves have to open up to absorb the carbon dioxide. Therefore, it loses less water out. When it opens up, therefore, the plants are greener, they grow faster, and they're more drought tolerant. Hmm. How is that a bad thing? Just wondering.
Yeah, and you mentioned hubris, the idea that this is all our fault anyway, that climate doesn't change naturally by itself, that it's a man-made climate.
So a question I've got for a climate alarmist type is, the Earth has been warmer in the past, and in the recent past, you've heard of the Roman warm period?
Mm-hmm.
When they used to grow grapes in England, when Greenland used to be green, okay? What happened to create the... So the Earth was warmer in the past without us doing anything. So how do we know that what we're doing is creating the warming that's going on now? There is a small amount of warming going on. But how do we know it's us? And how do we know how much of it is us?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. All the temperatures in the United States. The United States is the best country in the world that creates the huge temperature record. And it's got all these monitoring stations for the longest period of time, back over 100 years. But these places have been put, these temperature monitoring stations have been put in places that the community has grown up around them. And it creates something called urban heat island effect.
Sure.
Okay? That's what's causing the temperature to rise when you look at the record. But if you take out the urban thermometers and you just look at rural thermometers, there's no warming.
None at all.
Hardly any at all. Hardly any at all. A little bit, but not much.
Wow.
Not nearly the much what they're saying, and not nearly as what. So you go back 20 years, you go back 10 years, you look at the models showing the prediction of warming that they put in, and we are below their lowest estimations on every single one of their models.
The them announcing that climate change, man-made climate change, was causing inflation to get worse, or will be causing inflation to get worse. To me, in a lot of ways, it's almost like they are trying to throw out a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're like, we're going to say it's going to get worse, so it'll get worse.
Inflation's getting worse because governments are taxing more people and printing more money. That's what's causing the inflation. Because the more expensive you make things and the more money supply is out there. So if you increase stupid carbon taxes as if that's somehow going to help, you know, your so-called environmental problem, then you're making everything more expensive. That causes inflation. Then to try to make up for it, you're gonna pay off your national debt by printing more dollars or whatever it is. Then that's going to cause more inflation because now you're inflating the money supply. You're making each dollar worth less than it was the year before or the year before that, and that causes inflation. So there's no There's no winning. And what stuns me is how stupid our governments think we are.
It's true.
And what stuns me even more is how stupid how many of us are out there.
But not as stupid as they think we are.
Some of us.
most of us aren't that, aren't that bad. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Speaking of stupid, in California...
Speaking of stupid.
See, I don't even have to go on. That's like the punchline. But in California, this past, actually going in action today.
In effect, yes.
In effect today, the minimum wage for fast food workers. So, you know, guy running the deep fryer, guy flipping the burgers.
Yep.
Guy taking your order at Arby's. All those guys are going to make. Get this, Jack. You're a business owner. You can relate to this. How would you like to pay every one of your employees at least $20 an hour?
Well, it would be brilliant. And yes, the price of my goods and services would have to go up accordingly.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing this for free.
No. No. So, what they're saying basically is, here, pay them more. You can take it in the shorts as the business owner, Jack, because you're rich anyway. So, just pay them more. Whatever. No big deal.
So it only hurts the customer. You know, it's going to hurt the industry. They're going to have a round of closings. You know, just to back up a little bit, I don't understand in my brain how any state constitution or federal constitution allows for any government entity to force one person to pay another person a certain amount of money for their labor. That I don't understand.
Yeah.
How a third party has any kind of right to tell me how much my labor is worth. That's my decision. And that's number one. I mean, that nobody talks about it like that, but I mean, that to me I don't get. I don't know how that's constitutional in any world.
So let me ask you here. Yeah. I actually said that to somebody the other day, and they said, well, they put a minimum wage in because so many companies were taking advantage of kids. They were paying kids, you know, $2 an hour or 50 cents an hour,
then
or whatever.
You can say kids can't work, so you know, already you can't employ a child to work under a certain age, and if they're a certain age on so many hours, and then if they're in school they have to be done by 8 p.m. on a school night, something like that. Yeah. And they already have those laws. Yeah. But it's nobody's damn business how much anybody pays anybody except for the two people inside the contract.
Yeah, it's true.
And what's wrong with them putting our kids to work? How is that a bad thing? Does anybody think it's a bad thing for our kids to go out there and get a job, even at $3 or $4 an hour?
I know my son.
I can tell you the young kids, even if positive attitude ones, they're not worth it that much yet until they figure it out, and then they get raises.
Yeah, my son, at 14, wanted more money, and maybe I was a bad dad for not giving him a big old allowance or something, but he wanted more money, and he said, "Dad, he's 14. So can I go get a job?" I said, "You know, it'll have to be close. I'm not taking you to work. You're gonna have to ride your bike."
Yep.
So he went out and got a job. Uh-huh. And I honestly, when I sent him out, I said, nobody's going to hire him at 14. He went and got a job, worked at Sonic the first year or two before he was even 16. Made some pretty good money in tips. He'd come home with, pockets bulging with ones, But he went out and got a job. And I was actually pretty proud of the fact that my son saw a problem, said, look, I want more money. I want to buy, I don't know what he was into, video games or it wasn't Pokemon, maybe baseball card, whatever it was back in the day, wanted a new bicycle, whatever. He went out and got a job.
Yeah.
I was proud of that fact.
Yep.
Nowadays, kid says, hey, I want more money. A lot of mom and dads are like, okay, how much do you want? They write him a check. Or what do you want? They'll buy him a PS5 or whatever.
Right.
So... back to the minimum wage thing.
$20
in California.
Yeah.
You were saying there shouldn't be a minimum wage, period. But there is.
Yeah. I know. And it's just insane. But what's funny is because there's a carve out in that minimum wage for restaurants who bake bread and sell it on premises, which is what Panera does. Panera bread.
There's a carve out
for that one. Yeah.
And why is there a carve-out?
Well, it turns out that the founder and owner of Panera Bread in California is a good personal friend of Gavin Newsom. So turns out in a corrupt political situation where you give the government too freaking much power, which another thing is frustrating, then they can be corrupt and nobody cares.
So,
you know.
Is there – I mean, we're in Little St. George, Utah – several hundred miles away from California calling him out on this. Is there anybody in California who recognizes, hey, why is this guy getting away with this?
Well, there's a lot. There's a YouTube channel called California Insider. They cover this kind of stuff a lot. There's also Victor Davis Hanson. He's at that conservative think tank down there, Heartland Institute, something like that. Okay. Anyway, he's a brilliant guy. And so follow Victor Davis Hanson, follow California Insider. I think California is an interesting case study for what might happen, to the rest of the company and to the America. I feel like we are so lucky, living here in Utah and especially in southern Utah where we have a normal place. I mean, at my business, we have Californians come in all the time who are escaping. You know, I just talked to a couple last week who are visiting, who are going to move up here. And they were with a real estate agent all day. And we started talking politics, and they are as right-wing as you or me. Hmm. And they're leaving. They're done.
Got to get out.
Yeah.
I have friends who are from Simi Valley that live here now. And they said, We love California. We love the scenery. We love the mountains. We love the views. We love the ocean. Mm-hmm. We hate the politics.
Yeah.
We had to get out.
And I think what happened is, COVID really exposed the left for what it really is in a lot of ways, because it exposed the tyrannical impulses of these people to shut down businesses on a whim, to, even though it didn't really make any difference in the long run as far as lives saved, it didn't do a damn bit of difference.
Nope.
The mask mandates, the space mandates, things like that. And one of the things that I end up talking about to my customers is that when they come in from California or Seattle or Portland, and they're usually on the right, they talk about how it was COVID that was the turning point for them, when they realized, with the BLM riots going on, where the cities just allowed it to happen, the homelessness issues, and they just, like, there's no sanity left in their world. Because for some reason, the left, when it gets power, it just destroys. It does not build. It destroys and tears down. There's nothing in there. And you know, we're so blessed here in Utah, and for a while we are, you know, that's the case. And
4 years ago, now Easter is the most, more people attend church on Easter than any day of the year, including Christmas and all these other holidays. 4 years ago, we weren't allowed to go to church on Easter.
Yeah. Well, and yesterday our beloved president declared Easter Transgender Awareness Day.
Yeah. We'll talk about that and an art contest at the White House when we come back. We're going to take a break right now, though. If you call 673-5890, that's a 435 area code, I have Clay Travis's book called American Playbook, and we're going to give you a copy right now. And just give me a call, 673-5890, for American Playbook by Clay Travis. I'm going to be giving away a couple of these every day. So, get your copy. I think a few of them are signed, too. I'm not sure which ones. But, give us a call, 673-5890. Right now, let's check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I just turned on mic 2 for our ghost guest. No, wait, there's nobody on mic 2. It's me on 1 and Jack on 3.
Was I off the whole time this last segment?
No.
Did you just ignore me?
No, you're mic 3.
Are you sure?
You've always been mic. Every once in a while you'll sit over here, but usually you sit here.
No, usually I sit where I'm at.
Yeah.
So I can look at you.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. Congratulations to Debbie S. for winning a copy of Clay Travis's book, American Playbook. We're going to be giving away more. In fact, I'll give another one away here in about 10 minutes. So,
all righty. The station that pays to listen.
Yeah. This weekend, obviously Easter yesterday, the White House decided. So Easter only falls on March 31st once every, like, 30 years or so. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
It's usually in April. But it happened to fall on March 31st this year. And for whatever reason, our president decided, because they've been declaring the 31st of March the was it Transgender Awareness Day or something? He decided this year he was going to make an official presidential declaration that March 31st will forever be officially known as Transgender Awareness Day. This is, Jack, on Easter Sunday across America.
Yeah.
I'm just... I honestly thought it was an April Fool's joke a day early when I first saw it. I'm like, this is somebody's
this fake news. This is one of those Babylon Bee things.
Yeah, exactly. Or The Onion or something like that. Yeah, there's no way. And then I got investigating, and in fact, it is a true story. To go along with that, they had every year they have an art contest where kids under the age of 12 turn in something that they drew. Easter-themed picture, and the president would then pick the winner.
Okay.
They made a new rule this year. They said one new rule kids should be aware of when they turn their art in, it cannot be religiously themed whatsoever. Your Easter picture cannot have any mention of Jesus or resurrection.
The reason there's a holiday?
Yeah, it can't have any of that. It has to be bunnies and eggs and...
Have nothing to do with Easter. Yeah. I mean, as far as the origins of it.
So your thoughts on yesterday's proclamation and art contest?
I don't understand it from a political point of view, because apparently you would think Biden's trying to win the White House again.
You would think.
And I'm sorry, but this is still a majority Christian country.
Yeah.
And now you've just offended every Christian, you know, probably. Why on earth would you do that from a political point of view? Now, one thing I have is he always panders to the left. You know, he brought Dylan Mulvaney to come in and, you know, do his mockery of women in the White House. He did
Dylan a girl now? Or?
No, she mocks women. He mocks women, sorry.
Okay.
And he's not a woman in any sense of the word. But the thing is, you know, he thinks that by pandering to the far left, he's going to get some points, but he's already got those. They got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to vote for Trump. So I don't understand from a political point of view. The only thing I can think of is maybe he thinks that by the time the election day comes around, we'll have all forgotten about it.
Hmm.
You know, which is possible.
I don't
you know, that. But thankfully now, I think that Trump won't let him. Trump won't let us forget. There's so much ammunition against him.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
It's almost like any opponent of Biden, whether it is Trump now, obviously, but if it was anyone else, they would say, well, I need something to use against my opponent that will help me.
You know, when your opponent...
Joe, and Joe's going, here you go. Here, take this one.
What was that saying in The Art of War? When your enemy's busy making mistakes, don't get in their way.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're gonna tell the kids, hey, you can draw anything about Easter except for what Easter's all about.
Yeah.
So don't do that. Why not? Well, because, you know, there's this separation church and state thing, supposedly. Like, that's for some reason, that makes it...
Makes the art contest.
Which doesn't make sense to me either, the way they've interpreted it. I mean, even on our money we have in God we trust.
It feels like to me, Jack, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree. Yeah. It feels like to me, for the first time ever, it's really real. It's Christian versus transgender and alternate lifestyle. They've always kind of been bumping into each other, you know, here and there, but... It feels like Joe Biden is trying, and the left is trying really hard to make it an actual real battle of Christianity versus alternative lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the problem that maybe, I don't understand, like you said, is anybody at the helm? The problem is Christianity is going to win. I went on a cruise last year, or 2 years ago. Everybody on that ship was Christian. They were families, and they were, you know, on Sunday they were worship. I mean, and I was telling you, I went to the art show car show the other day.
Yeah.
And there were thousands. I saw thousands of people. Guess how many transgenders I saw?
Probably none.
None.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
But I saw a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
They don't get it, do they?
No, they don't. Yeah. I guess, you know, I think if Biden was within his mental capacity to think these things long term, which he's not,
right,
then, you know, obviously I don't think this would even happen. I mean, what would you rather see? Would you rather see the White House become silent on Easter and just say, you know, the first families in celebrating Easter with their family and, you know, and not do a Easter egg roll, not do a art contest that says not declare this day something, you know, that's diametrically opposed to Christianity as transgenderism awareness day might be? There you go. Just be quiet about it. But no, you have to take a stand.
Yeah.
Against the vast majority of the population and the sentiments of the American people. Why do that?
He even said in the Declaration, Jack, he even said transgender people are created in the image of God.
Yes, they are.
He said that.
They were when they were born.
When they were born.
Yep.
But he didn't say that. He just said transgender people are created in the image. And almost as if to mock religious people.
Yeah.
Almost as if to say, Yeah, you Christians.
Again, the libertarian in me says, do what you want to do with your life as long as you're an adult and you don't affect anybody else. But don't preach your gospel to my children in school. And, you know, stay in your lane. Do your thing. Live free. Be happy. I feel sorry that maybe you've got a dysphoria going on. I hope you get some help.
Yeah.
Do your thing, but don't... Yeah.
Yeah, like I said on Friday on this show, truth is truth, and the truth is what your birth certificate says you are. And you can declare, or you can feel, or you can operate, or you can do whatever you want. The truth is still the truth.
Yeah. So just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean anything.
No, the truth doesn't. The goalposts don't.
I mean, if I feel like a pineapple, does that make me a pineapple?
Well, you know what? You're sweet.
I'm sweet on the inside and prickly on the outside.
All right, we're going to give away another book. It's American Playbook, written by Clay Travis, whose show is on coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now. Give us a call, 673-5890. American Playbook by Clay Travis, the person already we got the phone line ring up. We'll let Stockton decide which one he wants to take for the winner. It's the American Playbook by Clay Travis on the Andy Griffin Show. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the dignity of work. When we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
All right, we got two. Oh, Jack's whistling along. Nice. Let me turn it down. Pretty good. We do have two female winners today of the Clay Travis book, American Playbook. Debbie won earlier. Bonnie C. wins just now. We'll have your books for you here at the radio station. And again, we're going to be giving away. Clay sent me a box. You know what? He told me he was going to send me a box way back when he was on the show.
You got it.
And at the time, I had like three copies, and I gave those out. Actually, I kept one and read it. And then he said, I'll send you a box. And I'm like, yeah. Well, that was 3 months ago. I didn't think the box was ever coming. The box is here. Well,
it turns out he's a man of his word.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that intro music.
Yeah?
Yeah. Andy Griffin, The Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
Mayberry. I know we're not Mayberry anymore, but I like to think about all the good times when we were young.
All right, I'm going to read
Simpler
you
world.
An excerpt from an article that is Mayberry-ish.
Okay.
And I want to get your reaction to this.
All right.
This is a guy by the name of Paul on the website freemansperspective.com. He says, one time I lived very close to the Field Museum of Chicago. I had a membership and spent a good deal of time there.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
It's cool.
One evening, about 10 minutes before closing, I noticed that workers had begun preparing the first floor for an evening event. I had a panoramic view as I stood on the balcony of the second floor, and what I saw has stuck with me ever since. What I saw was a lone man setting up tables and chairs, simple work, really, the kind that a teenager could do, but what I watched this man do was every bit as beautiful as dance. He moved with integrity, with precision, and with intent. He carefully spaced the tables in precise geometry. He moved every chair with efficiency. This was more than just work. It was art. This man knew that he was doing his job well, and perhaps most importantly, he enjoyed doing his job well. I was transfixed by it all, and I stood there until the guards asked me to leave, and even then I moved very slowly until I lost sight of him. There is real beauty in doing a job well, even a simple job. It is our great loss that this form of beauty is never mentioned in public these days. Double sad because at one time such beauty was acknowledged. That brings us to an obvious question. What happened? How did we lose the beauty and dignity of work?
I don't know.
I love that excerpt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you and I grew up in a generation, and someone younger listening right now could go, these old guys, they're just reminiscing about old times, whatever. I remember as a young man, and older man too, but there were times when a job had to be done, and there was no one else to do the job. It was me. You do the job. Whether it was picking peaches or setting up tables or moving a piano or whatever, a job had to be done. And, you know, I did the job and of course I did it for the money, right? I got paid to do something or serve or whatever. But I did it as well as I could because that's what you did. You took great pride in doing a good job. You didn't want whoever had commissioned or asked or needed the job done. You didn't do it because they were paying. You did it because you wanted them to go, hey, that guy did a good job.
I think we used to teach our children that said, when you're going to do a job, no matter what it is, do it well. I remember in high school, and actually when I played Little League football, of course, everybody wanted to be the quarterback or a fullback or a halfback.
Yeah.
I ended up being a tackle.
Me too.
Okay? So once in a while I was a center. But the coach said, be the best tackle. Be the best center you can be. That's still an important job. Even though it doesn't get the glory, you know, the quarterback's the guy that gets all the glory.
Sure.
I ended up going to defense and playing defensive end so I could kill the quarterback. But but do the best job you can. You know, do the thing that, if you want to do it as a religious perspective, think about it like this. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, every work that you do glorifies God. So do it for the glory of God. Do it for your own, because when you do a job half-assed, and when you do it without your heart in it, without trying to do the best job you can do, you're only hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to teach that principle to our children. I think it gets lost in the video game generation. It probably was lost on the millennial generation, to be honest with you. Mm. You know, us boomers raising our kids not to be as self-responsible as we were a little bit
our fault. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We didn't.
But that to me, that's the reaction I would have.
Excuse me.
Because he's gonna do the best he can.
I want to tell you a quick story. So this yesterday, we had a family gathering for Easter.
Uh-huh.
It was great. Aunts and uncles, cousins, friends, whatever. Great gathering, but my sister had asked me a week and a half ago. She said, you know, my husband really loves your, I make something called pulled ham. It's like pulled pork, only you use a ham, but you cook it like a pulled pork and you pull it. It's really, really good.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
however, last year I made it and I thought, you know, it needs something. And so I poured the juices left over from it over the top of it. Well, the problem was the juices were mostly the seasonings I had used. And it became overseas. It was too salty.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And so I had this year, my sister asked me, and first of all, she was really sweet to ask me again because 2 years ago it was great. Last year it was not that good.
Yeah.
But she said, my husband loves your pulled ham, so will you make that again? I made the pulled ham.
Yeah.
And smoked it for 14 hours.
Ooh.
Till it took forever to get the they call it IT. If you're a barbecue or a smoker, you know, IT, internal temperature, is more important than length of time or any other thing. The IT, it really matters. The IT had to be 200. It stalled at about 170 and was 170 for like 2 hours. I'm like, oh man, this is never, you know, the dinner's like 3 hours away. I'm like, this is terrible. So, eventually at 3 o'clock, the party's at 4:30. At 3 o'clock, it finally reached IT of 200. And I'd just take it out and I put it in the crock pot. Maybe I'll do something different. But
yeah.
I took tremendous pride in trying to get it to the right temperature, even though the pressure was on to get it. You know,
did you increase the temperature on the smoker?
Well, so with the way you do it, you cook it a certain temperature until a certain time, and then you glaze it and you put it back in,
right?
And you raise the temperature to 300. Uh-huh. So, no, I did not.
So you're sitting there at 300, waiting for the internal temperature to get to 200, and it's not.
And I was getting nervous. But eventually, I was patient this time. I think that was the problem last year. I got stalled last year and took it out and cooked it the rest of the way another way and put extra seasoning. And it just was too. I was patient this time. And it turned out this was the best pulled ham I'd have ever made in my life. I mean, we had a giant crock pot full of it. It was empty.
Wow.
I mean, people went through it. People loved it.
My goodness.
But you know how much I got paid for that?
Your satisfaction, baby.
I didn't get any money.
Yeah, but you got something more valuable.
I bought the ham myself.
Yeah.
I didn't. There was no money involved. It was what we were just talking about with the dignity of work.
That's right.
My goal was not to make money on this ham. My goal was not to be a superstar. My goal was to make it so good that people wanted it, that they looked at it and said, Andy did a good job on that.
Yeah.
That was my only goal.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what life is supposed to be about,
right? That's right.
You know, I on Friday talked about three of the nicest guys I know. And Milt and Ben and the third guy. Let me think about this a minute. There's the third guy. Milt and Ben and
three of the nicest guys you know.
And I forgot the third guy.
Are they personal friends?
Yeah. Well, Ben's my brother-in-law. Milt is a guy I played pickleball with.
Jack's on that list.
We'll put Jack is number four of nicest guys I know. Way to make a list, Jack. You know, these guys have taken it upon themselves to. Oh, Yori Ludvigson, one of the nicest guys ever. These are the kind of guys that, and we're short on time, but these are the kind of guys that they're not just nice guys, but they go above and beyond. They do things for other people that is really nice.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm a really nice guy, but I don't go out of my way to be nice. I'm just nice. You know what I mean?
That's just who you are.
These guys try really hard to be extra nice. That to me, really impresses me. So, and you're on the list, Jack. Way to make it.
Well, thank you.
But they're not nice. They don't go out of their way to be nice because they get paid to do it. Or because it makes them famous, even though I maybe made them a little bit famous on the radio. They do it because that's who they are. It's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they want to have pride, the dignity of doing their
Well, you know, I love going around and making the world a better place.
Yeah.
You know, for you being there.
Yeah.
So, you know, reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite movies.
All right. What's the movie?
I won't tell you. See if you can figure it out. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
There'll be no money, but when you die, on your deathbed, you'll receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me.
That sounds like Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Was that Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got that going for me.
Was that a Ghostbuster?
Gunga, Gadunga. Gunga, Gunga, Gadunga.
What was
the way? I was caddying for this.
Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Well, Jack, thanks as always for coming in.
You're welcome.
Great to discuss
thanks for having
with
me.
You. Again, all week long, we'll be giving away Clay Travis American Playbooks on the Andy Griffith
Show. Hey, everybody be happy. You know why?
Why?
World's going to change for the better.
I hope so.
Can't get any worse. Well, I guess it can, but we're about due for some good news.
Thanks for your help today, Stockton.
You're welcome.
Jack, appreciate you guys.